Welcome, everyone, to another season of Who's Gonna Win here on KJAN, our weekly high school football pick'em show, back yet for another season. I know you've been anxiously anticipating the opportunity to hear us impart our football knowledge on you once again here in the 2017 campaign. Okay, that's probably a lie, but we're going to have some fun with you, and we hope that you're along for the ride and enjoy it. It's the same usual suspects with you again here this season: Jim Field, Doug Leonard, Matt Mullinex, and myself, Chris Parks. And also, same sponsors back with us again here this year as well: Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union. We appreciate their support. And before we get started in recapping last season and getting after our picks, let's hear a word from those sponsors.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
We'll get started by letting you know how things went last season. We had a pretty close race down to the end of the season. It came down actually to a tie by the time we were all said and done. And the tiebreaker let Jim be the champ once again. You've had a pretty good streak here. Is that, that's 2 years in a row?
Hey, don't be messing with the champ. Go Hawks.
Yeah.
That was the difference.
That was the difference. Iowa beating Iowa State last year was the winner for Jim, the loser for Doug, as they both finished at 58-22 here on the season last year. And I came in at 55-25, and Matt was at 53-27 on the season last year. So that's how things played out with our Who's Gonna Win results here from 2016. So now we move on to 2017, and well, it's might be a rough start here as we introduce the crowd here to you. Yes.
Just as a reminder, I'm the two-time defending champ.
Defending champ.
It's one for three.
Ooh, we keep a plaque on the wall here to remind you of that.
Notice it's behind the door.
It is, actually.
By the way, the full crew is Jim Field, as we just mentioned, the champion from last year, Doug Leonard, who tied him and came up short, Matt Mullinex, and then also myself, Chris Parks. And we'll be with you here throughout the season. And it might be a rough start for Doug this year because he's not in studio with us here today to start the season. It's bad form to start the year, you know, 0-8, but it might be how Doug ends up.
How could you possibly have had some place better to be than this?
Exactly. Especially the first show. I mean, you got to be here. It's just, I mean, you've been looking all year for it.
Yeah. You should be excited. You should be ready to go. I mean, the coach isn't going to play if you don't show up for training camp. I mean, come on.
But he did provide us with his picks.
Supposedly.
He probably didn't put a lot of effort into it like we did with all the notes we have here. He'll be leading after the first week because that's how it works.
Yeah, that's how it works. And it turns out usually these first weeks do end up being pretty important because it's kind of the tougher time of the year to understand what's going to happen. We don't know a lot sometimes about who's going to step up and be contributors for these teams, but we'll go ahead and get right after it here for you and start off with our first couple of game picks here as we get the show started. And the first one is our actual only eight-man game we have on the sheet here this week to start in week full number one. There were a few teams around the area that played games last week in week zero, but most of the teams we have on the slate here are getting off to their first start here this week in the full week one action. And the first game has a couple of teams that met up at the beginning of last season as well for the first time in a long time, and they'll get to do it again this year. It's Exira EHK on the road at Audubon in an eight-man football game. And, well, I guess we have to let the defending champ start off the program. Is that how it works?
After you give us Doug's pick, you know.
Might as well give you Doug's pick because we already know what's going on there. So Doug went with the Wheelers. He's taking the home team in Audubon. Jim.
All right. Well, you know, and sometimes this is all paralysis by analysis, because the first week of the season, as you said earlier, you know, some teams have some quality kids coming back, but it seems like there's more turnover this year, more of the stars of some of these teams than we've seen normally in early week shows. And this is a pretty good matchup here to kind of focus on that, because you got two teams in opposite directions right now. Both came off good seasons last year. Both of their seasons ended probably a little earlier than they really hoped in the postseason. But Audubon had a really good breakout year last year, and they've actually got some good players coming back. Tyler Reboff is coming back as quarterback. He had a nice season last year. Nolan Smith, a very dependable running back. Exira EHK, it seemed like they've always just refilled. They just kind of reload. But they lost a really good player both ways in Drew Buchholz, a good defensive star as well as a running back. But Connor Westergaard won't be there to run the offense this year. They're young. They got new faces. They lost some key players. I don't think that they have the same ready-made guys to fill in some of those spots to make up the difference. So I really like Audubon in this football game here at home tonight. I think they're off to what will probably be another very good season, and I think it starts tonight.
All right, so it's another one there for the Wheelers. Matt, you want to take a crack at it?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Audubon Wheelers as well. Kind of like what Jim said, I think Exira might take a couple of lumps here early on as they start to fill their spots out, and Coach Peterson will start to feel some of those kids out, and then he'll start to take advantage of that down the road. But early on, Audubon, with just everybody back and in the key spots and ready to roll, and you know, coming off of last season's 8-2 last year, I think. So, you know, I think they'll be ready to go.
All right, so another one there for the Wheelers. I'm going to go ahead and make it a clean sweep as well. I like Audubon. They have pretty high expectations, I think, here for this year. They came in at number 3 in the early Radio Iowa poll to start this season, and they're looking to try to not only have a great season, but then be able to get to that next step there in the postseason. They came up short there against Harris Lake Park last season. They're now the top-ranked team heading into this season. So they've got a lot of those skill positions back. Exira EHK, there's a couple of guys, Ian Leader, Cole Burmeister, Cole Madsen. They should be the key leaders on that team to kind of get them going once again. But like Matt said, it might take a little while before they get their feet back underneath them.
Yeah, and I agree with where Matt was going too. It might be a little bit rougher than normal for Exira EHK early in the year. They will figure it out, though.
Yeah. Tom Peterson usually gets that job done, and we'll look forward to seeing how this week one matchup plays out for him. So we've all got Audubon in that one against Exira EHK.
We're all in first place.
There you go. Let's see how this next one goes. This is a Class A, Class 1A matchup here, as St. Albert goes on the road to take on Logan Magnolia. This usually one of those games in the past that folks have looked forward to at some point in the season, when they used to be matched up in the same district for a while in the same class. But now this year, it'll be right away to get the season started, and should be an interesting one. And Doug is going to go with the Falcons. He's taking St. Albert on the road. I guess we'll let go around the horn here and let Matt take a look at it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with St. Albert as well. They're so loaded. These guys, that this senior class, have been playing since they're virtually freshmen. They've been expected to carry the load from day one that they stepped into the hallways of high school down here. So now the thing is, you know, everybody kind of might have seen that Luke Waters may have had an injury last week. I think that'll play into somewhat, but I guess the plus side to that is they've had a week to adjust to that and plug somebody else in there. I think they'll have somebody definitely to step up. But even with their personnel changes, Waters moving to running back, can't think of Kyle Barnes maybe in the quarterback there. So, you know, they'll definitely be ready to go. But the big thing about St. Albert's always been impressive, of course, is their defense. That side of the ball is always ready to go. Logan Magnolia, they're kind of like Exira EHK. I think they're kind of filling some spots in there as well, and they'll take a few weeks maybe to see exactly where they're at. They've got some young players that they'll be expecting some things out of. May not quite have the size they've had in the past, but again, Coach Strait will get that figured out, and they'll, you know, I'm sure make a good run down the stretch. But this opening weekend, we're going to go with the Falcons.
All right, so it's a couple there for St. Albert. And, yeah, both teams coming off pretty good seasons again last year. 11-1 for St. Albert, 8-2 for Logan Magnolia. St. Albert all the way to that semifinal round last year, and they have pretty high expectations with, as you mentioned, a lot of those guys back. They've got key players at pretty much all the skill positions that are coming back here this year because Tyler Blaha, their leading wide receiver, is also back to catch some balls. So if they can figure that out there between Barnes and Blaha, they should have some enough offense, like you said, to help out a great defense that they always seem to have. They did lose their leading tackler from last year off the team in Danny Cook, but they've got a lot of other guys that can always kind of make that team mentality. They play team defense, it always seems like, and I like them to be able to do that. Logan Magnolia, they are going to have some young guys in there. They lost Brady Wilson. He was a big key to their offense last year with 19 touchdowns, and he was also their leading tackler on defense. So that's a big loss for them to try to figure out how to plug that hole. They're another one of those teams that will figure it out eventually. They'll get to that point. But playing a tough St. Albert team week one, I'm going to go with the Falcons as well. Jim.
Yeah, I see no reason to go anywhere else. And we didn't even mention Luke Gronstahl. He was their leading running back last year, and he's back too. I mean, they're pretty well loaded everywhere you go on the defensive side. And I'm not too worried about losing individuals on defense because their defense isn't predicated on individuals anyway. They swarm. Yeah, they do a lot of good things. They're going to be really strong. They will be one of the teams expected to get to the dome here at the end of the season. So I don't see any reason that they shouldn't start out with a win here. Logan Magnolia, you know, they largely run the football and lost their top two running backs to graduation. So you see where that's going. Yeah, they're going to have to work through some things there early on. They will. They'll get better again as the season moves along. But St. Albert's the better team right now.
All right, a couple of queen sweeps to start things off here for you. It's Audubon the winner in our first one we're all picking, and we're all taking St. Albert over Logan Magnolia here as well. We'll take a break and come back and look at some more games here for you. This is Who's Going to Win on KJN.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
And welcome back here to Who's Gonna Win as we dive right back into our picks here for this week one. And we're going to go in a Class 1AA matchup here again for this one. This is Missouri Valley going on the road to take on Griswold. And Doug is going to go with Missouri Valley. He's going to take the Big Reds there to get things started. And I'm going to go ahead and agree with Doug here as well. I'm going to take Missouri Valley. Both teams coming off pretty similar seasons last year. Missouri Valley was 6-3, Griswold at 5-4. But the big story for Missouri Valley is they return their workhorse in Nathan Haynes. He had over 1,600 yards rushing, 18 touchdowns last year. And they return a lot on defense, too. So they've got kind of both sides of the ball with those leaders back to help them, you know, take the reins. Griswold, they do return a lot of their players as well. They did have a lot of guys that were kind of in that sophomore junior class last year that'll be back for them. So I think things will improve for them this year. Of course, they had that rough stretch last year dealing with just a bunch of injuries where they ended up having to forfeit a couple of games just because they had so many people out. I think it'll be a much better situation for them throughout the year this year. This one, I think, to start off the season will be kind of tough. So I'm going to go with Missouri Valley here in this one. Jim.
Yeah, and for a lot of the same reasons you mentioned, Nathan Haynes is he's a solid running back. And you didn't mention Skeeter Bostwick, the other running back. There is no way I'm picking against a team that has Skeeter Bostwick on the team. That's a great name. I love it. So I'm going Mo Valley.
Good football names win out. All right. Three for Missouri Valley. Matt.
Yeah, Nathan Haynes, he kind of had a breakout season last year, his junior year there, and he emerged onto the scene and really put the Big Reds on his back and carried them through a nice season there, 6-3. Grizzled, I think, still fighting some numbers game for them this year. But like you kind of alluded to, they do have that extra year under the belt for those that are still there. But I just think out of the gates here again, week one, Missouri Valley, I think, is going to be ready to go and primed that first week, even though it is a road game for them. I just have a feeling Big Reds.
All right, so Missouri Valley across the board here for us in that one as well. All right, next on the list here is a Class 1A-2A matchup here, non-district play, as AHSTW will go on the road to take on Shenandoah. And the team's played a close game to start off the season last year. Doug is going to go ahead and go with the Vikings. He's taking AHSTW on the road. And, Jim, are you going to agree with him?
Oh, absolutely. Shenandoah lost a whole bunch of key players from last year's ball club. AHSTW, I think they'll have a much easier time to start the year this year. They've got some quality players back. You know, R.J. Harris going to run things again. But, you know, Gabe Pauly is such a good player both ways, not just on offense, but he's such a good defender and a good tackler. Yeah, I think they are kind of like what we talked about with Missouri Valley Griswold. I just think they're ready to go right now to start the season. So, yeah, I like AHSTW to have a happy home road trip.
All right, so that's HSTW for three of us. Matt?
Well, I'm going to keep the show boring so far, and I'm going to go with HSTW as well. Road trip form. But, yeah, they got a lot of pieces coming back a year older. Always makes a big difference, and Shenandoah did lose quite a bit from last year's team, especially some important places. They'll lack some size, I think, in there as well. So Vikings on the road.
All right, and I already gave it away. I'm going with the Vikings as well. I'm taking AHSTW. They do have some nice pieces back. R.J. Harris is a great athlete, and it'll be good to have him leading the way, Gabe Pauly. It's going to be interesting, though, I think, to see what this Vikings team can do as far as the season as a whole is concerned, because they did lose some important pieces, too. I don't think they have quite maybe that full depth that they enjoyed last year, so they're going to need a few more guys to kind of step up and fill certain spots. Preslin Groby was a pretty good wide receiver. Blaine Lees also, they lost those two guys, so you know, in the passing game they might have to look for something else. They did lose three of their top four tacklers also, so that's going to be you know, other guys ready to step up, but that seems to be a program that's able to do that. They have other guys that are kind of waiting their turn, and I think the Vikings will be able to play pretty well once again here this year. And as Jim mentioned, Shenandoah losing a lot from last season. Jordan Miller was a big part of what they do, and he's out so after graduation, so it'll be a kind of another rebuilding, restocking mode, I think, a year for Shenandoah, but I like AHSTW here in this one. All right, next up on the slate here, we've got a 2A, 1A matchup here as Underwood goes on the road at Trainer, and Doug is going to go with the home team. He's going with Trainer here in this one, and I guess, Matt, you get to take the next look here.
Okay, well, this is definitely one of those games that I've no clue coming into this week, so... you know, Underwood 2 years ago had that phenomenal season, good run into the playoffs there, and then kind of lackluster year last year. And Trainer's just been kind of been struggling to get things going on the football side. You know, everything else has been clicking for them, all their other sports, but football has kind of seen a downturn over there, so which is unusual because they had such a strong program for quite a while. So, you know, this is a tough one. I don't know which way to go on this one. So I'll go with Trainer. I'll go with Trainer. I have no idea. Home game. I don't know. Okay. I have no idea. Trainer. So we'll just, like you said, it came up heads.
He's very confident about that one. All right, so that's a couple for Trainer, and I don't disagree with you here. This one is pretty tough to figure out. You know, you look at both teams; they both lost key players. They both lost their quarterback, Jared Martin for the Eagles, and Trey Castle for Trainer, and that's about all Trainer did was throw the ball around last year. So that's certainly something that's tough to deal with. Isaiah Humphrey was another great athlete for Underwood that they lose from last year. They do have some other players back. Hunter Gehring returns. He had a pretty good season on the ground, but they've got a little bit of work to do. I guess I'm going to go with maybe what I think is easier to figure out after losing players, and you know, the system that maybe is easier, and I'm going to go with Underwood on the road. I think you know, they have more of a balanced attack, maybe run the ball a little bit more, so I think that's going to be easier maybe to figure out in week one. So I'll go with Underwood. Jim?
Okay, well, I am going to go with Underwood too, and I have no idea why. I think Underwood's had a better run recently. Traditionally, Trainer, oh my goodness, yeah, they've been a much better program over the long haul, but we're not talking about a long haul. We're talking about one game early season where everybody's trying to figure out what in the world they got after losing players to graduation. So, yeah, and I don't like slinging the ball all over the yard, especially at the high school level where nobody really does it very well. So, yeah, that just kind of scares me. So I'll take the control of Underwood.
All right, so a couple there. We finally split things up here and maybe make this program a little more interesting here with two of us going each way on that one, two for Trainer, two for Underwood.
Now it's on.
Yes.
Now we're getting somewhere. All right, the next game up here is a battle of the large classes here as we go 4A, 3A matchup as Abraham Lincoln is on the road to take on Glenwood. And Doug is going to go ahead and go with the Glenwood Rams. He likes the home team here in this one. And I guess I get next look here at this game. Glenwood, of course, terrific season last year. Got all the way to the semifinals. And if not for an injury to their quarterback, Colton Weirwooding, maybe they go a little bit further than that. And it was a real good season. But they do lose a lot of pieces from that team last year. They're going to have to do some retooling as far as some of those skill positions are concerned. They do have one great player back in Andrew Bloom who will likely end up at that quarterback spot because he's the one that came in and tried to fill that role last year when Willarding got hurt. They lose Cole Loffelbein, who had a great season on the ground. They lose Maverick Decker, who was just a great receiver for them throughout his career. So that's tough. They got a lot of pieces to figure out. But the nice thing for them is they have a lot of those big boys back. They've got almost all their entire offensive line back from last season. That's usually a good sign for a team to try to fill some other pieces in there. They've had some other success in other sports. I think they've got enough talent around to be able to be another tough team in the district again here this year. And I am going to go ahead and take them in this game as well. The Abraham Lincoln does bring back some skill guys. A couple of their running backs are back from last season, but I think Glenwood will have enough to get the win here at home. I'm going to go with the Rams. Jim.
Okay. Tough. I look at this one just like the last one. Tough one to figure out. Glenwood lost so many quality players from last year. And I don't know what it is about Glenwood. It seems like the few, they don't make deep runs into the playoffs very often, but it seems like every time it happens, their quarterback gets hurt. And it stifles them from that point on. It happened before with, was it Lovely? Was that his name? Years ago.
Yeah, and Alan Hughes one time got hurt too.
Yeah. Got to the semifinals, broke his leg.
Yeah.
You know, probably had the best team in the state that year at that level, but just, you know, it gets tough when those things happen.
So you don't want to be quarterback for the
not deep in the playoffs, yeah. Apparently. Yeah, Glenwood's got some guys back, as you talk about, some of the big uglies and that type of thing. Now, AL's kind of interesting because, you know, we all know football's a numbers game. And the bigger the school, the easier it is to reload, rebuild, whatever, because, you know, you might have had a poor class, but you've got plenty of other kids to fill in spaces. So sometimes it's kind of more difficult, those bigger schools, to really know what they've got coming through the ranks there. But, you know, they had a couple of young quarterbacks last year, AL, that got a chance to split time, and they're both going to be back this year. They've got some other kids that, you know, kind of took their lumps a little bit last year to a certain extent. They went 3-6. They play bigger competition. I might be all alone on this, but I'm going to kind of go out on a limb here for whatever reason, and I just think Glenwood's got a lot of skill position holes to fill, and I just kind of think this might be one of those spots where you could get an upset in the first week. So I'm going to go with AL.
All right, so that's one for Abraham Lincoln. Matt?
Yeah, it is kind of one of those games. I know Glenwood's probably the early season favorite for their district up front there just because I think they do have that offensive line back and intact. You know, going back to your analysis for the game before, you know, Underwood, you know, they run the ball, ground, balanced tackle. Well, that's what Glenwood does too. You know, they're not anything fancy. They just run that double wing most of the time, motion and all that stuff. So I think that's where you're going to find somebody like Andrew Bloom that's going to step right in there and it's going to click right away. He's going to be a threat. He's got some good speed in there. You know, they'll probably move the Bales kid back into there where Loftbein was. So, you know, I think if Glenwood could minimize mistakes and turnovers, obviously early season, I think they're going to come out on top. I'm going to go with the Rams. AL is going to be definitely improved this year because they did have a young group that has been putting the time in the weight room. And, you know, they kind of had a little transition there in coaching a couple years back, and I think it's just finally starting to come through for them, you know, starting to – that little transition in there, and it's starting to come around to where things move in the right direction again. So, but I'm going to go with the Rams.
All right, 3 for Glenwood, 1 for Abraham Lincoln. We'll go ahead and take another pause here before we finish up with our final two picks here this week. This is Who's Going to Win here on KJN.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, for Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
And welcome back to Who's Going to Win as we head to the final two picks on our sheet here this week in week number one. And we've got another 4A, 3A matchup here for you. This is one between Lewis Central going on the road to take on Harlan. And Doug is going to go with the road team. He likes the Titans in this one in Lewis Central. Jim.
Me too. They got the makings of a good ball club again this year. You know, is Duggan or Dugan? Duggan? Which way does he pronounce it?
Duggan.
Yeah. Okay. Depends on which side of the state you're on, I guess.
There you go. So
depending on how it's gone. But he's, you know, he's been rated as one of the top, 10 pro-style quarterbacks in the country. And he's just going to be a junior this year, which is funny because he's also one of their leading runners.
Yeah.
You'd have thought he'd been listed as a dual threat, but he's really listed more of a drop-back pro-style quarterback. But he's got two of his top wide receivers back. Now, Harlan's got some pretty decent players back, too. They're going to get another year out of Schmitz at quarterback. Nick Foss ended up with kind of a solid season last year, even though Harlan didn't have a Harlan-like season. But I think Lewis Central's ready to go here early on, and they took care of business last year against Harlan. I think they will probably do that again to start this season.
All right, that's two for Lewis Central. Matt?
Yeah, where Lewis Central and Max's stock really jumped was last spring track. Once he stepped out on the track and ran those open 100 and open 200s as quick as he did, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, he might be that dual threat. So he's kind of on that line to where some of these schools are recruiting him now as a dual threat. They've seen his speed. But the one thing about Lewis Central that's made them so effective, even with utilizing their quarterback, is they really, you know, they've got a lot of guys around them that support them very well. And so they really don't put him in an opportunity to fail. You know, they're always putting him in a situation that he's going to succeed. And you see that in his numbers. He very rarely, even his first 2 years, has thrown any interceptions. I mean, it's just phenomenally low for, at that point, an underclassman. So, but then again, it goes back to some of the guys around him, too. Offensive line, you know, is in there, and the support cast. So the thing with Harlan this year, a lot of offensive guys returning, but are they going to shore up that defense? You know, what was it? They went down to Creston and scored 45 points but lost, you know, because they gave up 50-some points. Didn't they go to Glenwood and scored 35 but gave up 40, you know, so lost there too. So can they shore up their defense? That's going to be their biggest thing this year. I think they'll probably will, because that's something they've always taken pride on throughout the years. But Lewis Central is definitely too good for Harlan, especially right out of the gates.
All right, so it's another one there for Lewis Central. I'm going to make it a clean sweep as well. I like Lewis Central in this game. Yeah, Max Duggan, great player, does it both ways. And then they did lose Max Souther, their top tackler from last year, but then you look at the stats and the next two guys down the list are back. So they've got a lot of key returners on both sides of the ball and probably a team that's thinking that they can make some noise here this year there in Class 4A. Harlan, yeah, it's going to be the offense, I think, will be there enough for them. But it's a question, can they get that defense going? They did lose a talented player in Nick Tarney, who made that transition last year over to the defensive side and was a good player for them over there. So they'll have to find some ways to be a little bit more creative on that side of the ball, but it's going to be tough here in this one. I like Lewis Central. It's a clean sweep there. Let's take a look at our last game on the sheet, and it'll be a broadcast game here tonight as well, as it's a 3A, 2A matchup as Atlantic goes on the road to take on Clarinda. And Doug is going to go with the Trojans. He's taking Atlantic. I believe we're back to Matt. Yeah, Matt.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Trojans as well on the road tonight. I think they've just got a good nucleus of kids back this year. Clarinda, rough season for them as well, just like Lang. Both teams coming off 1-8 seasons last year. But I think Clarinda, they've got a little coaching change they're going through, but they're going to try to run a lot of the schematics that the new coach has been on staff there for years, so kids are still used to them. But I just don't think they have quite the same athletes that'll be on the field as Atlantic. And I think with some of the changes that the Trojans have made, they're going to utilize what they have. You know, the line, I think you'll see that be much improved as well. So I look for a good game from the Trojans all the way around. Again, minimizing turnovers and stuff like that. But I think it's just a good nucleus of kids. They've been winners and everything else, and they're kind of starting to come around and take ownership of what they're doing. So I think I'm going to go with the Trojans.
All right, that's one there, or a couple down for Atlantic, with both Doug and Matt taking the Trojans. And, yeah, Atlantic, disappointing season, obviously, last year, 1-8. This was one of the games, the game that they did win. It was against Clarinda in a tight, exciting one last year that came down to a late field goal to win it. But, yeah, like Matt said, they've got the core key players back. And, of course, when you got a guy like John McConkie up front that can lead and anchor you at that position at center and then in the defensive line, that's a big key to having some other guys hopefully come around him and being inspired by what he can do out there. And I think you've got some strong players at the skill positions. If the Trojans can find ways to get their speed guys the ball in some open space, then they're going to be able to have some success offensively. And I think they're going to try to do that a lot more than they did last year. Obviously, there wasn't a lot of time, I don't think, for Coach McDermott last year to try to implement some of the things that they wanted to do before the season got going. So it was kind of that learning process for a few games before you got really going in the later part of the season. So hopefully they're much more comfortable with what's going on this year, and hopefully that they can get out there and kind of fire a little bit more early and often here this season. It's another transition for Clarinda, even though the coach has been there as a defensive coach for a long time. It's still, you know, a new guy. He's going to have some new ideas and new changes here and there for them. So that might make them adjust a little bit. And they lost a little bit from last year, too. I think some of those guys they've been relying on the last couple of seasons aren't going to be there for them. So they're doing a lot of figuring themselves out, I think, early in the year. So I'm going to go with Atlantic. I like the Trojans on the road here early.
Well, and hopefully the conditioning's a little better this year. I mean, youth and injuries. I mean, good gracious, how many injuries has Atlantic had over the last 2 or 3 years? Some of that's bad luck. Some of that's conditioning. But, you know, you've got to work hard. You know, how many times do we say this in every sport? You win on the field, yeah, but you don't win because of what you did on the field. It's usually what you've done off the field to prepare for that effort. And I think Atlantic's done some pretty good preparations this year. Part of it is you've got a little stability now with the coaching staff and moving forward there. But I think last year was just disappointing. You know, they won that first game and really felt like, you know, they may not have been a playoff team, you know, in anybody's imagination, but, you know, 3, 4, 5 wins was not unreasonable for that ball club. It just didn't happen for them. And then the ball started rolling downhill on the injury front as the season went along, too, like it did the year before that. So, yeah, they can go out and win this game. But then if they win a couple, 2 or 3 more games in the first few weeks of the season, you know, there's no better motivator for any team than the feeling like we're in this alone. Nobody believes in us. we have to do this. We have to band together. I mean, it's a great bonding experience for a team to feel like, guys, we got to go and prove everybody wrong. So if they go out and play well tonight, and I think they will win the football game tonight for a lot of different reasons that you guys already discussed, but if they go out and win the football game tonight, walk out of this injury-free with a good feeling, they've got another opportunity next week against another team that they should do very well against, and who knows where that launches them from there. They've got a lot of pretty good young talent, a lot of speed, not a lot of size. You can win with speed if you do the technique right. So we'll see. I think tonight's going to be a good launching point for them.
Yeah, it could be a good start to the season here for the Trojans, and you'll be able to listen to how it all plays out here tonight on the radio, because we'll have that for you here on KJN. I'll be joined again this season for high school football coverage by Mike Smith, and we'll have that coming up here for you as we get the pregame started and kickoff set for 7:30. So listen to it here on the radio, online, and on the mobile app as well, and we'll have the live video going for you as well at KJN-TV here this evening. So that's going to wrap up our Who's Going to Win program here for week number one. Gentlemen, thanks for a good start to the season, and wish you all the best of luck, but not the best luck.
You're welcome, Chris. I'm just glad I got invited back.
Oh, yeah. No problem. Yeah.
Maybe that's because I haven't won since 2008.
Well, Doug's going to have a tough time coming back this season, so we'll see how it works out for him. All right, that's going to do it for week one here on Who's Going to Win. Thanks to Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union. We'll get started with our pregame shortly. This has been Who's Going to Win on KJN.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.